So you've started your new business. Hurrah! But you have no customers. Boo! What you need is advertising. Go over to sponsorship.podbean.com/WNTTAG and you will receive $100 in advertising to spend on podcasts galore. A plethora of people who want to buy your product. So go over to sponsorship.podbean.com/WNTTAG for free money. I will. Well, I won't really, but you should.
Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Hooray! It's the most wonderful time of the week. It's Sunday. It's time for the sermon, the supernatural sermon, that is, we need to talk about ghosts. Did you notice there was an advert at the start? Tut, tut, tut. Who do you think you are, Rupert Bloody Murdoch? No, it's all part of the bigger plan in which I hope to slightly monetize the show so that I can lessen my hours and work and then make the show longer. So it's all a bit of a cycle, you know, it's like the circle of life. If the circle of life included trying to leave a bloody contact center job in order to make paranormal produce, which isn't the circle of life, nor anything to do with The Lion King, but it'd be a better show if it was, wouldn't it? The old Lion King there. Simba, come back. I can't, I'm writing a thesis on the paranormal. Okay. I haven't seen The Lion King, so I don't know any funny things to pretend to say. Okay, Dad, the big lion. I believe your name's Mumpty or something. And then there's a monkey, and he drops me into a cavern. Does he? I always see the bit where there's a monkey holding the baby lion. Does he then drop him? I imagine he does. It always looks like he does. And he goes like, I say what. I should watch more Disney. Anyway, enough of what I should watch. How the devil's beans are you? I do hope that, like an espresso machine, you're wonderful but slightly complicated. We've had an amazing amount. Not a plethora this month. It's been an avalanche of emails, spooky emails. My inbox is terrified. Honestly, my inbox is sleeping with the lights on because there are so many scary stories doing the rounds within its very body. And with that said, we should crack on and just start listening to some, shouldn't we? I should just read them out and you guys should listen. What do you say about that? I think that's a good idea. So let's crack on. Actually, the first one is spooky in itself because we all know by now the amazingly named Ashley Colucci. She emailed me to say, hey, Kev, have you got round to reading that sleepwalker story about my sister? And it rung a bell and I was like, actually, no, I haven't. So I went through my emails. Couldn't find it anywhere. And I don't delete these emails, I store them. And I couldn't find it. So I got back and said, listen, really sorry. I kind of vague recollection of it, but I can't find it. She went, leave it with me. I'll go through my sense. Anyway, it's bloody disappeared as a story. It's not in my inbox. It's not in her sent box. I can only assume that some little gremlin has got in and said, I am paranormal email taker person and I need a better name. And they took it. But anyway, during that dialogue, she sent me another story. So the email goes thus. Hi, Kevin. I have no idea what happened to the email. I know I sent it and you even replied, the weirdest thing. And it is weird, people. It is. It was one about my sleepwalking little sister, and it was quite long-winded. And I don't feel like typing it again. Fair enough. So I have a different story for you. And that's led us to this story. This is Kev now. So now we're going to hear a new story from Ashley Colucci. And it goes like this. When I was 19 years old, both of my grandparents passed away within 6 months of each other. Oh, I'm Italian, and in Italian we call them Nonno and Nonna. My nonno was the first to pass, and my nonna was very sick at the time of his passing. I've always had an affinity for paranormal activity and always felt like I was sensitive to different energies or feelings when you enter a home. I remember thinking when he passed away that I wish I could talk to him just one more time. In brackets, he had very bad dementia and wasn't really himself anymore before he passed. I know, that's terrible. My nana, I went to visit her once and she had a big smile on her face. I said, you're right, Nan. She went, yes, we're waiting for the Queen. I was like, okay. And then I left. And for all we know, the Queen might have arrived, but I doubt it very much. She continues, I wish I could talk to him one more time. He had dementia. So that I could tell him all the things I wish I said. One night, I was sleeping and having a dream about my stepfather's mum and dad. And in brackets, they didn't know my grandparents at all. I was in their home and I was at the kitchen sink washing dishes. The dream wasn't anything special. I don't remember anything extremely important happening. Why are you telling us about it then, Ashley? I joke. That was until the dream changed. Dun, 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 dun. I remember feeling ice cold in my dream, almost like I actually felt ice cold in real life. And this feeling came over me, like somebody was watching me. I got a feeling. Anyway, I turned to my right and looked down the long hallway leading to the bedroom. It was completely dark down that hallway, but there in the shadows was a person standing there just watching me. He looked gaunt and skeletal. So much so, I didn't even recognise him at first. He looked dead. I dropped the dish I was cleaning and gasped, taking a step backwards. Can you tell the humour's gone out of my voice here? Because I have a very vivid imagination and, yeah, I'm scared. I dropped the dish I was cleaning and gasped and took a step backwards. I was terrified. He stepped out of the shadows and into the light. Immediately, his features changed. It was my nonno, and he looked younger and like the old nonno I remembered as a child. Everything warmed up and I didn't feel afraid anymore. I do. When he was alive, he had a very thick Italian accent and it made it very difficult to understand his English sometimes. But when he spoke to me here, he spoke perfect English. He never opened his mouth, but I heard a voice inside my head. "Hello, Ashley. How are you?" he asked me. I couldn't speak when I opened my mouth to talk. He smiled and simply just pointed to his forehead. I responded to him in my head. "Nonno, what are you doing here?" Oh, she probably didn't say it as aggressively as that. She probably said, "Nonno, what are you doing here?" I asked him. "I know this may seem scary, but you don't need to be afraid," he said. "I just wanted to say hello and check on you and your sister," he said. "I've also stolen emails from your account." He didn't say that. That was me. Sorry. Let me see. "Wanted to check in on you and your sister. I'm not afraid, Nonno. I'm just surprised to see you. We all miss you so much." "Oh, I know you do, and I miss all of you too." He then proceeded to ask me questions about various members of my family. He asked how my father was and my sister. He then told me he wanted me to pass on a message to the family. He wanted me to let everyone know that there was no longer suffering where he was and he was at peace, that he loved everyone very much and would be waiting for us. God, it's ominous. He knew Nonna was sick too. He told me to tell her that she needn't be afraid. After our chat, he walked into the living room and sat down beside my sister to play a game of checkers with her. When I woke up from that dream, I was almost paralysed with fear. I had never physically seen an apparition, but I was 100% positive that if I rolled over right then and there, I would have seen the ghost of Nonno standing by my bed. Ugh. And honestly, I did not, capitals, want to be seeing his skeletal, gaunt face again at 3 a.m. this morning. Neither would I, to be honest. I was sceptical about telling my dad and the rest of the family about my dream. I've been the kind of black sheep of the family, if you will, and I didn't want them to think I was stranger than they already did. Fair play. I waited a week or so before I told Dad. When I told him, he was shocked. He told me to tell my nonna. When I told my nonna, she cried. I had never once in my life seen my nonna cry before, but she said, "Thank you, Ashley." So I knew that telling her brought her some closure. Thanks for reading up my stories again, Kev. Thanks for the... keep up the excellent work, Ashley. You're very welcome, Ashley. What a lovely, lovely story. Now, this opens a can of worms, because what are our collective thoughts? Because we got a lovely little community here. What are our collective thoughts, do we think? Do we think on passed over loved ones coming in to our dreams to say hello or whatever? And do we think it's actually them, or is it us trying to rationalise the emotional pain that goes along with death? Bit deep for a Sunday morning, I grant you, but this is part of the sermon. My personal thoughts on it, I can believe both sides. You know, I did have a very strange dream. I told you last week, the night that we went to a funeral, Becca's granddad passed away. He was 98. So, you know, it's not a tragedy by any stretch. It's sad, but it's not a tragedy. He lived a full life. But in the week before that, now this was weird, and I thinking about it, I don't even know whether I've told Becca. I mean, she wouldn't believe it regardless, so I probably wouldn't. But as you know, my granddad passed relatively recently. I had the dream that we were in his house, me and Becca, having a chat in the living room. No one else there. We were in it's sold now because, like, they're both dead, sadly. But we were in his living room and we sat on the couch talking away. And my granddad came in from the back kitchen, looked very well, looked very sprightly. And he came and he sat next to Becca. And we both commented on his cardigan and was like, that's a nice cardigan, granddad. And he put his arm around Becca and said that it was Alan's. And Alan's the name of Becca's granddad. And then he died the next week. Now, in truth, Becca's granddad was a bit ill anyway, you know, so my brain's obviously absorbed that. It's thought about this question, like, you know, I don't know. Was it my granddad coming to tell me you need to look after Becca because your granddad's going to die? Or was it all just bloody coincidence and it's what your brain does to make sense of this mad, crazy place we call the Earth? I've no idea. I'd like to think it's the first part, you know, where we can say, yes, and when we die, don't worry, I'll just pop into your dream and I'll tell you the recipe for a lovely lasagna. You can invite friends around and say, this is my spooky supernatural lasagna. But it could also just be our brains, which are very clever things, just saying, now don't be too upset because I'm going to invent your granddad to make you feel better. How does that sound? And then we go, okay, brain, thank you. Which in essence makes all of us kind of insane. So yeah, let's hope it is the dead. Anyway, thank you, Ashley. And I, God knows what happened to your email. I was joking, obviously. I don't think it was your dead relative stealing the emails. But again, that'd be good, wouldn't it? If in heaven there's just a load of spirits going, I managed to get 70 today. Yes, I did. He doesn't know his passwords anymore. I'm having a blinder. But yeah, thank you, Ashley. It was a lovely story. And we don't know whatever happened to that email. We'll never know. Whilst we're on the thinking about, could it be this, could it be that sort of thing, we've had an email in from Sarah Moran. And Sarah says, hi, Kev, another new binge listener from Brum. That's Birmingham, everybody. You'll remember last week me and Becca butchered their entire culture. Love, love, love the podcast. It's boasting, as we'd say here in Birmingham. I take it that means good. I'm going to start using that throughout this podcast. As for yours and Becca's Brummy accent, meh. Oh, I don't think that's boasting. Good try. I was waiting for you to say we sound thick, but you didn't. You said dense, and that was as close as you got, so that was okay. Yes, I apologise for that. I apologise for that. Ah, terrible. I was thinking about the whole mocking of the Trinity stuff. Groups of three means demonic, 3 a.m, three scratches, etc. And I just think it's a load of twaddle, she says. When watching a paranormal show, the victim, in inverted commas, always mentioned it was three scratches instead of I was scratched. It gets me thinking that the afflicted must be clued up to the paranormal to know that. That they have an interest in it to begin with, and therefore I doubt their motives. Am I being too cynical? Same with the time stuff, as in 3 a.m. There might be truth in it, but when it's brought up by the person, it just seems fake. Also, if someone's relating their ghost story with a big smile or they're laughing, my bullshit meter goes off straight away. And I get that, yeah, I do. And if someone starts off with, I heard banging, things move, I saw a ghost, why wouldn't they say they saw the ghost first? Okay. I love the paranormal, I find it fascinating. My whole life I have, since watching Rent-A-Ghost back in the day. Claypole was my fave. Americans everywhere are going, what the hell's Rent-A-Ghost? Why would somebody rent a ghost? It was a kids' program back in the day. And instead of... I'll tell you what we'll do. Instead of German music at the midpoint, we'll play the theme from Rent-A-Ghost so you can all join in. Claypole was a jester. It was basically a gang of ghosts who lived in a house. And then, like, humans would arrive to, like, buy the house. And they'd be like, oh, we can't let them live here. And it was very funny. It probably wasn't funny. It was probably crap. But in memory, it's great. She says, I've got some stories for you, but I wanted to say hi and that the podcast is fab. We also have two copies of that Reader's Digest book, Folklore and Legends of Britain, that you talked about. Anyway, bye for now. Keep up the great work. Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. And we'll be reading Sarah's stories when she sends them in. But it's an interesting point, and I kind of agree with you in terms of the whole, not necessarily the, in fact, yeah, I do. If somebody says, so I woke up at 3:33 a.m, go, yeah, there's a reason you're saying that. And it's only 1% likely that you woke up at 3:33 a.m. The actual 99% of it will be that you're fully aware, like Sarah says, of the whole grouping of three scenarios. And yeah, I do agree when you say if someone's smiling, to a point actually, if someone's smiling when they tell a ghost story, then you think it's BS. And the reason I say to a point is that I kind of get it. That, you know, there should be an element, there will be an element of humour, as in to say, what the frip just happened there? Yes, what the frip just happened there? But on the times when I've been alone in this house and I've been convinced there's something there, although I've told you about it and I've tried to make light of the situation, it dawned on me that, you know, if people have a serious phenomenal bangs everywhere, like in a violent alleged what happened at the Enfield Poltergeist House haunting, there'd be no joviality in it at all. It'd be horrible. You're living basically with an abuser who's invisible and is everywhere at once. I've just scared myself saying that. So I think I should move on to some more emails. Yes. Now, this one is a little bit lengthy, but should take us nicely up to the mid... Well, past the midpoint. It's going to be a big episode today, people. What can I tell you? Okay, so this email is from the wonderful Jenny Pie. She's been back in touch, and she's been to... Is it NOLA? Is that what we call New Orleans, if I'm trying to be American? Hey, I went to NOLA. I bought myself some beads, because there's a festival. Nobody talks like that. Okay, so she's been to New Orleans, and it goes like this. Sorry, I just really freaked myself out. It's the middle of the bloody morning, Kevin. Don't be scared. Do not be scared. Read the story. Stop being an arsehole. Here we go. This past January the 8th... Oh, no, that's a lie. I read that wrong right off the bat. This past January, 8 of us decided to go to New Orleans on vacation together. Most of us have been before, except for Kim and Andy. We had our Airbnb, an enormous, block capitals, flat in the Faubourg Morigny neighbourhood. Above all the music, nightclubs, and located about a block away from Esplanade Avenue and the French Quarter. The first thing of note is that as soon as we opened the door to the flat and I walked in, I felt my stomach dropping. Dizzy, head spinning, knees weakening thing and I get when I go into a place that is old and inevitably something other, block capitals, happens. One of my friends noticed and asked if I was okay. And I said I was. I just had to get my NOLA legs under me. Woo, party NOLA. Making our way inside, we check it all out and are in absolute awe. Well, awe, and I'm a bit spooked because of what I had felt, but mostly awe because the place was, block capital alert, amazeballs, including a block capital alert, private balcony overlooking Frenchman Street. That must be a big deal. I imagine it is. New Orleans looks amazing, and it sounds amazing. It's full of witches. I want to go. Once everyone in the group arrived, we all went out into the French Quarter to get drinks and dinner. I can speak French, you know. Here we go. Hold on. No, I won't even attempt. I can't. I've just realised. I can't. In Italian, I can say, Io sono felice perché mio papa è a Venezia, which means I'm very happy for my father's in Venice. I have no idea when. There's a lot of strange things that need to take place for that to be said. Anyway, we go out for dinner. Our first stop was Lafitte's blacksmith shop for drinks to go. I know, I'm in block capitals, I know how haunted that place is. And while I felt like I had guarded myself from the overwhelming nature that is NOLA, especially as an intuitive and an empath, the best I could, after being at the airport before dawn and travelling all day, I was not in a space to deal with anything paranormal. While a few of my friends darted inside to get our drinks, the rest of us loitered on the corner, smoking cigarettes and shooting the breeze. Or nuclear bombing the hurricane, if you're Donald Trump. In this loose circle, I was the closest to the building, but not in any way near one of the open doors, nor in the way of the sidewalk. I felt a very solid, but mind you, friendly, tap on the shoulder. Oh, on my left shoulder. I shrugged and ignored it. Tap, tap. I turned around and there wasn't anything there. Block capitals now. Of course there wasn't. I interrupted the conversation to ask if anyone else had been tapped or if they saw someone messing with me. And of course, no one had. Vera then came out with some of our drinks. Vera, what a name. And we told her what happened. She grinned her spooky grin, tossed her hair and said, the ghost just wanted you to come and say hi. You should have. I accepted my drink and started walking, muttering how that was why I didn't go in the first place. I know they're friendly, but all... I know they're friendly and all, but I'm not up to feeling like making new friends, living or mumble, mumble, mumble. She's literally put that. That's just not me mumbling. Living or not, mumble, mumble, mumble. I don't get it, but I'll say it. So later that night, after delicious food and lots of walking and drinking and touring the quarter, We found a late night grocery, stocked up on supplies, snacks, booze and cigs, and headed back home. At this point, Kim looks distressed, like she's barely holding it together. We make it to the flat and the boys go to bed, so it's us five girls. Kim suddenly bursts into tears because she is so overwhelmed by the energy she's picking up everywhere. In brackets, to be honest, it could have been the mix of drinks and exhaustion too. Yeah, that's a good logical way of looking at it there. She says the French Quarter, even with all its party atmosphere, is such a sad place. We give her space for her feelings and explain that the quarter is definitely intense. The weight of age isn't like anything you really feel any place in America because, well, history. Plus, working on shielding and boundaries of any kind takes a lot of practice. I am only explaining about Kim because of what all happens next. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry, I'm hearing bangs. Hello? I continue. Albeit scared. Albeit 9:10 in the morning. She calms down and we continue to hang out off the balcony. At some point, Kim sets down a glass of water. We all see it. It's perfectly stable. It's sitting quite still on a flat surface. There's no wind. She says something about ghosts and the cup violently tips as if something had forcefully knocked it over. We all look at each other, deciding perhaps if it's best to call it a night, especially since it's 2-something in the morning. A couple of days later, we're all headed towards bed and another day of sightseeing around the quarter. Food, booze, and laughing it up on the balcony. Kim had been washing the dishes alone in the kitchen and she came onto the sleeping porch that I shared with her and Andy and asked me if I'd been outside with Vera, Ashley, and Samantha, giggling and talking while she was washing dishes. I told her no. No. We'd all come inside when she did and had all gone to bed. In fact, Samantha had gone to bed way before us with her dude. She pales and tells me that while she was washing dishes, she started to feel uneasy, like something was watching her, and she definitely heard us chattering. But she couldn't make out what we were saying, so she assumed we were outside. The voices she heard, though, were absolutely mine, Vera's and Ashley's, and another, so she thought it had to be Sam. Gross, right? She says, and I agree, yes, gross. I showed her that no, everyone was in bed and no one was talking at all. I told her if it happened again, just to say out loud, to knock it off. She went out of the way. Oh, you Americans, you crack me up. Knock it off, devil. Okay, shucks, gee whiz, get a coffee. No one says any of that stuff and that's offensive. I do apologise. She went into the bathroom we shared and after a minute or two, swung open the door, scaring me and waking up Andy. She looked scared as F. We asked her what was wrong and she said the shower curtain was flapping all over the place. Andy is a skeptic and I'll try to look for an explanation, even as a believer, before jumping to the conclusion that it must be a ghost. So all three of us crowd into the bathroom and check the window for drafts. The window is bolted and painted shut. That's a fire hazard. We check the washer and dryer for drafts around the vents. None. Tight as a drum. Oh, I'm going to say that as well. Boasting. Tight as a drum. Andy shakes his head and says it's probably just nothing and goes back to bed. I, not so sure, especially after what Kim told me about hearing the chitter-chatter earlier. I've weirdly added the word chitter into that then. It just says chatter. I said chitter-chitter. Sat on the washer and stay with her while she finished washing her face. I ask if whoever was with us could make the curtain move to do it again. After a few seconds of nothing, the shower curtain starts shaking. In the middle. Not at the bottom, not at the top, but right in the middle. When I'm doing that voice, there's capitals. Like someone was making it go. And not like a breeze was blowing, but like a fist had hold of it and was shaking from the middle. I say, okay, thanks, we see you. We know you're here. You can quit now because you're scaring us. Knock it off. She doesn't say that. And Kim and I got the F out of the bathroom and jumped into our beds like our tails were on fire. Nothing else occurred for the rest of the trip in that bathroom, but things got spookier. Sunday, we all get dressed up to go to fancy dinner at Mr. B's to celebrate Vera's birthday. Regrettably, about halfway through the meal, exhaustion, dehydration and everything else caught up with me and a migraine hit me. I stay long enough to not be rude, then order myself an Uber and head back to the flat on my own, while everyone else went to get a couple of drinks elsewhere. I let myself into the flat, took my meds, changed into my jammies and fell asleep for a couple of hours. I was woken by voices I can hear my friends, distinctly Kim, Vera and Lady Ashley. Oh, she's royalty. Chattering, or chitter-chattering, as Kev likes to say. Some are in the flat. I can't tell anything that they're saying, and since my bed is in the back room of the place, I figured they must be someplace inside, because I wouldn't be able to hear anything on the balcony. I call out to them, get no response. I've just done that myself. I call out again, the chatter, chitter-chatter, fades away. At this point, even though I'm a tad groggy from the meds, my mind is processing what the F is going on. I get out of bed, go into the kitchen for some water, and go back to bed just to sit in the dark, in the quiet, and listen. I would have a light on. Just saying. Bumps, creaks, footsteps. I can hear all this going on. Then 20 minutes later, my friends come home. Block capitals. Yes, the flat was above music bars on busy Frenchman Street, and it was Sunday night. However, the voices Kim and I heard were absolutely our friends. We have the very distinct and different voices. When it happened to Kim the other night, the street was quiet, which happens once the bars close. Plus, the voices sounded like they came closer than from the street or the bars below. I told Kim about my experience, and I saw she is so relieved to not be alone in hers. She had been sincerely scared that whatever was in the apartment was singling her out because she was the most vulnerable. Which may have been a first. That isn't all that happened that night. Block capitals. And we'll find out more of what happened that night after the midpoint. Here we go. By the way, I just realised that Rent-A-Ghost, they didn't just live in a house. Well, they did, but they were renting. You could rent a ghost. That's the bloody point, Kevin. Why you didn't pick up on that before, I don't know. But without further ado...
If your mansion house needs haunting, just call Rent-A-Ghost. We've got spooks and ghouls and freaks and fools at Rent-A-Ghost. Hear the phantom of the opera sing a haunting melody. Remember, what you see is not a mystery, but Rent-A-Ghost.
There you go. What a program, what a song. Honestly, Google that song. There's like a middle eight, there's a solo. It's like 4 minutes long. It's amazing. The way good old children's music used to be. Anyway, it is the midpoint. Hurrah! I do hope you're well. Send your stories to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. I love receiving them and I love reading them out. And I love having a chat with you via email, unless they get stolen by grandparents. I do hope that you do that. That would be fantastic. talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Don't forget, you can also go over and support the show, and your support is very much needed. Go over to patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghosts and sign up there. There you will receive one additional episode per month where we do it based on Patreon suggestions. Yes, we do. We will meet a Patreon of the month over there too. Yes, you do. And dependent on the tier, you receive like badges, stuff like that. Oh, anyone waiting on a badge? They're coming to me this week. Hooray! So they should be coming to you the week after or thereabouts. So yeah, I think that's about enough. Oh, also the Patreons found out last week who my special celebrity megastar person I've done a podcast with last week. They all found out. I'm not allowed to say really, but I'll put it on the Patreon because, you know, they're the Patreons and they get the best of everything. And someone who's went and signed up to the Patreon is none other than the wonderfully named Bex Blundy. And her song's going to go like this. She's gone over to the Patreon and signed up to We Need to Talk About Ghost Club. And she's gonna get a badge because she's wonderful. And Daddy doesn't understand her. He probably does. Always said she was as good as gold. This is a long one. Gold. Anyway, see no reasons because there are no reasons. What reason needs to be told? What's her name? It is Bex Blundy. What's her name? It is Bex Blundy. Etc. I just want to do I Don't Like Mondays because it reminds me of Bex Blundy. Anyway, we've also had another wonderful Patreon sign up, and his name is Ben Keary. And with a name like Keary, I can only play this. Ben Keary's gone and signed up to the Patreon. Ben Keary's gone and his name sounds like the song Keary. Ben Keary's gone and he has signed up to the We Need to Talk About Ghost Club. That was me doing Keary. I don't know who sings Kiri, but I bet it was written about Ben Kiri. Two wonderful Patreons there. You can join them and I will sing your name. Yes, I will. Go over to We Need to Talk About... No, don't go over to there. Go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts and you can sign up to one of the many tiers, receive extra episodes, badges, content. Yes, sirree. See you on the other side. Yes, we're back. Huzzah, hooray, yippity-doo-dah, yippity-day. I didn't mean that any of that to rhyme, but, you know, happenstance. So, yeah, there are going to be adverts included in future episodes, but I want you to know right here, right now, that the show won't be any shorter because of them. If there's a 10-second advert, we'll have 20 seconds more content. Yes, we'll beat them hands down. Anyway, back to the story of Jenny Pie. So where were we? Oh, yeah. So she said, that wasn't all that happened that night in NOLA. She didn't say in NOLA, but here we go. We all stayed up for a while, and eventually it's just me, Vera, and Ashley. We decide to call down to one of the markets in the quarter and order some sandwiches to be delivered. Our food came, and we sat down in the kitchen. We're all seated, so had a visual of the entire living room, where the doors to the balcony are. They're French doors. Tall, thin, and quite aggressive. I'm joking. And had curtains in front of them. These curtains hung on rods at the top of the door and the rods swung into the room to open or back against the door for privacy. We had them shut against the door because we're all ready to go to bed when we're finished. Everything was quiet except us whispering and eating our sandwiches. Suddenly the curtains in front of the balcony door started moving, sort of rippling at first, and then they, both left and right, swung open. Inward into the room. The freaking balcony door just opened outward like it does and then shut itself like someone was stepping outside. We all started laughing nervously and Vera said, y'all did just see what I saw, right? That was quite a good accent, Kev. Thanks, Kev. All three of us had experiences, so we weren't scared per se, but we were definitely not expecting that while we were eating our late night snack at 2 something in the morning. Which I reminded them, that was also about the same time Kim's cup was knocked over for no reason the other night, outside on the balcony where it seemed like someone had just gone out to. The next morning, we told everyone what had happened. Of course, the guys just blamed the wind. And then in block capital, she says, but we ladies with the knowing and the cunning knew. I honestly never felt anything malicious. I don't know what Kim felt other than scared. I think by that time it was done trying to get her attention or whatever. It just realised the rest of us, being more experienced or just straight up non-believers, the dudes, treated it as, yes, we hear you, we see you, hi, hello, we're your roommates this week. And in that case, it felt like it could have been itself, maybe. I don't know. I've thought a lot about it in the past few months. I really hope when we go back next year, we get the same place. Also, NOLA is haunted AF, and if you have a chance, you should absolutely go there more than once. Do the tourist thing once, then go your own way every time after. You will definitely encounter spooks, spirits, and other things that go bump, or use your travel companions' voices. And that is, I think on record, one of the spookiest and lengthiest stories that we have. And for that, I thank you, Jenny Pie. I think we'll have one more story. Because it's bouncing down outside now. Did you hear, by the way, halfway through that story at the start of that, there were bumps around the house. And I'll be honest, it's only 9:30 in the morning, but I'm not going to check. Nope. In my head, I'm going to say it's the neighbours. It's just the neighbours. Can you hear that rain? Oh, God. I tell you what, it's proper miserable here. If a ghost is going to appear, now's the time. Please don't. Please don't if you're listening, because I really wouldn't like that. Well, I shouldn't say that as a host. Okay, do, but just don't. Okay, let's have one more story. Now, in trying to keep with the spirit of the new format, what am I like? It's not just the same show. But where we put the scary story at the end. It's raining outside, it's grey, it's miserable, and I'm going to try and freak you out with this story. Although there is one line in it which I cannot make scary. It's just quite funny. I've never heard the expression before. And we will all learn it together. Okay. Hello, Kev. Thank you for your podcast, which makes me giggle and shudder in equal measure. That's not scary. My story occurred back in 2004 when I moved into a rented basement flat within a large and very beautiful Victorian house in Pittville, Cheltenham. The house had been divided into 8 flats, 2 on each floor of the building, flats 1 and 2 in the basement, 3 and 4 on the ground floor, etc. I had recently become divorced and had 2 sons, who at the time were aged 6 and 3. Amidst the emotional chaos that had brought us there, we settled well into flat 2, which is on the ground floor, as we've established. And having moved in the May, we had a great summer to look forward to, with the wonderful Piffle Park on our doorstep for picnics and playtime. How many peas are in that? And the town centre, just a few minutes' walk. My glass was half full. Within a few weeks of moving, I was reading in the lounge one evening after the boys had gone to bed and heard what sounded like little stockinged feet running lightly back and forth in the flat above me. I thought absolutely nothing of it, other than to wonder what time the people might be putting their kids to bed. Over the coming weeks, the children, I guess there would be at least 2 of them, would chase each other around up the stairs in the upstairs flat at all different times of the day and evening, sometimes laughing and squealing as though one had caught up with the other in some game of tag. Despite the activity from above, I never managed to bump into any of the family in the communal areas of the building. So one day I knocked on the door to introduce myself. I tried it a couple of times, but no one answered, so I left it. As I was returning to the stairs that led down to my flat below, an older lady came through the main entrance door and introduced herself to me as the tenant of flat 3. We passed the time of day with me telling her how much we liked it there and how I was hoping to say hello to the family in flat 4 because it would be very nice for my sons to make some new friends. I think we all know where this is heading, but let's confirm. "Oh, but dear," she says, "there's no one living in flat 4. Ahem, it's been empty for months." Well, squeeze my tits and call me Barbara. She's literally put that. And that's the bit that, no matter how scary this story is, I want you to listen again as I... This is how she exclaims her shock. "Oh dear," she said, "there's no one living in flat 4. It's been empty for months." "Well, squeeze my tits and call me Barbara." "I did not say this out loud," she says. "I should hope not." As you might imagine, I was a little spooked, but I think I felt more silly for having mentioned the family to my new neighbour. However, she didn't seem disturbed by what I'd said, and we discussed it no further. Despite her revelation, the noises continued, but I can't say I was scared by them. I would find myself smiling when I heard them because it sounded like happy children having fun. I am a sceptical believer who likes to debunk where possible, so the only explanation could be that it was mice. But when was the last time you heard a mouse giggle? Good point. I had not long started seeing a new boyfriend when I moved into the flat. In brackets, we have since married. Well, congratulations. I hope he squeezes your tits and calls you Barbara. Fucking hell, Kevin. Anyway, moving very swiftly on. And he will forgive me for telling you that he's the biggest wimp when it comes to the paranormal. So I was certain that if I ever mentioned anything to him, he'd probably stop coming over. All I shared with him was the flat above me was vacant. All I shared with him was the flat above me was vacant. One night, I had to work very late, and he very sweetly offered to look after the boys until I finished. When I got home around 1 in the morning, he was sat with all the lights on, looking quite unwell. When I asked him what was wrong, he said he'd heard running footsteps and giggling for most of the evening coming from the empty flat upstairs. At that point, I had to come clean. I lived in the flat for just under a year when we took the step of moving in together. Needless to say, my suggestion for him to move in with me went down like a sack of shit. To be honest, I never got further than Googling the address and found nothing of its history or any other stories. Maybe I will dig deeper one day. I've attached a screenshot of the front of the Prior's Lodge. The flat 4's front window is to the right of the front door and my flat was in the basement directly beneath. Hope you enjoyed that one. Stay fabulous. Diane, Cheltenham. Gloucestershire. Well, squeeze my bum and call me Kevin. That was a great story, wasn't it? And what a good story to end the podcast. I'm going to put that image, if it's okay with you, the image of the flat, which I'm literally just downloading now because I didn't realise there was an attachment, onto the Facebook group. So go over to the Facebook group. Just search "We Need to Talk About Ghosts." It's a closed group. You'll have to answer a few simple questions, such as "What is the meaning of life?" I joke. And you'll be able to see that. I'll put that on there now, actually. Yes, I'll just fiddle away with my phone. I won't really. I've got no idea how to do it. I'll find out. But in the meantime, send your stories in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Get us on the Twitter at Talk About Ghosts. Yes. Or go and sign over to the Patreon where there's a lot more content. Content. There's some content, some features, some paranormal stuff. Now, there's loads of free stuff over there in terms of content and secrets about celebrities I've been talking to. Yes. So go over there, patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. In the meantime, till next week, I do hope that you all have something absolutely ridiculously, terrifyingly paranormal that happens to you, so much so that you have to hold your knees and call you Roger. I'm trying to make my own version of that. I hope you have a boasting week, which we all know what that means today. And I will see, I love you all deeply and sincerely. And I will see you all next week, or at least speak to you all next week. Bye bye. Oh, before I go, actually, before I go, next week's show will be. I'm trying to do one about Friday the 13th because that date's coming up. Yes. And I thought rather than do it and release it on Friday the 13th, we'll release it earlier so you can have a full week of thinking about Friday the 13th. So if you've got any Friday the 13th stories, especially, do send them over to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Yes. Also, before I go, bloody hell, like Columbo, one more thing. We will, when we do the Halloween special, and there's already loads of really brilliant places being bandied around for places to go and do, I'm going to release that about the week before Halloween. The reason for that is, who realistically listens to a podcast on Halloween? And you can save it till Halloween if you wish. It's up to yourself. But it also, I know I like to listen to Halloween stuff in the build-up to Halloween. And you're definitely going to listen to it after Halloween, because then you're on to All Saints Day, etc., if you're Catholic. Anyway, that is definitely enough for me. So, finally, the links. talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com for your stories. At talkaboutghosts for Twitter. Go and join the We Need to Talk About Ghost Club on Facebook, and you'll see that picture of the last story. And go to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. You're all wonderful people. I admire each and every one of you, even though I have not met you all. Trust me, it's possible. And I love you. And I will see you all next week. Tatty, tatty, bye-bye.